welcome to the Movie Film Show, featuring the insightful reviews of Mr. Film and Mr. Movie. This week we review The Tourist, The Fighter, and All Good Things. And now, here are Mr. Movie and Mr. Film.
Greetings, I'm Mr. Film.
And I'm Mr. Movie. And for our first review, Angelina Jolie and Johnny Depp team up in a crime mystery thriller from Columbia Pictures called The Tourist.
Why is everyone trying to kill me?
Alexander Pierce, wanted in 14 countries.
They think you are him.
You were part of a plan.
This is exactly why she chose him, to distract us.
I am sorry I got you involved in all of this.
Why are you involved?
You wish to report a murder.
Attempted murder.
That's not so serious.
Not when you downgraded from murder, but when you upgraded from room service, it's quite serious.
Okay, the PG-13 rated movie is really just about what you might expect, and actually perhaps a little less. The movie starts out with Elise, played by Angelina Jolie, who's being tracked by the police, but we don't really know who she is. Is she a person of interest, a spy? We don't really know, but as things unfold, it starts to become clear that she is involved with some mastermind embezzler who's stolen billions of dollars from a gangster or something. Anyway, the police don't know what this embezzler guy looks like, so their connection to him is through Angelina Jolie. The police seem to arrest just about anyone who comes in contact with her, thinking that it might be the guy. So Jolie, in an elaborate plan of deception, boards a train and finds someone that looks sort of like what she thinks the police think this guy will look like, and befriends him. The guy is, of course, an American tourist, played by Johnny Depp, named Frank, who, even though he is getting his chain yanked by Jolie and knows it, still thinks he is in love with her. So after a bunch of chase scenes, mostly on boats in Venice and whatnot, and a few twists and turns, we finally get to the bottom of it all in the movie's big reveal. Now, Mr. Film, I found this movie quickly tiring and not very suspenseful. The story is fine, and there are twists and turns that I guess to some are surprising. Maybe I've seen too many of these kinds of movies, I don't know, but I have to say that I guessed who this master embezzler guy was within the first 2 minutes of meeting him. It's so obvious, and the dialogue is so carefully constructed that it actually takes us out of the movie and we realize we're being set up for a big surprise later on. But that just means that the writing is kind of amateur. Good writing does this, but we don't know that it's doing it. Here we do, which just makes the whole thing a bit of a superfluous exercise. Still, it did keep me focused on the story, at least, rather than fall asleep. And although with every scene I only further confirmed my original theory, I suppose that was fun enough. But, you know, it's kind of like tic-tac-toe. Once you figure it out, it gets a little boring after a while. For Angelina Jolie, this is certainly a step up from Salt, which we reviewed over the summer. There's more fun and less seriousness here, which fits her well in the action thriller genre. Johnny Depp is okay, though he comes off as a bit of a dolt. It's funny at times, though a little frustrating too, but on the whole, nothing special. My advice is, if you have to go to the movies, and you have absolutely nothing else to see or do for an hour and 45 minutes, or you really like the actors in this, maybe check it out. But it's nothing special. And because I found the story so obvious, Mr. Film, I'm going to give this a C+.
Oh, okay. Well, Mr. Movie, what a missed opportunity. You have an A-list cast, a gem of a location, Venice, for God's sake, and a filmmaker, Florian Henkel von Donnersmarck, who knows how to elicit emotional depth. And we saw that with his Lives of Others a couple of years ago.
That's and a great
get,
movie.
Terrific, one of the best films of that year. And what we get is a film that's DOA almost from the first frame. And like you, I more or less figured out the... I actually figured it out before I walked into the theater, I think, for the most part. And I think it's just because I've watched a lot of these sorts of films. But the bigger shame isn't the fact that I kind of already had figured it out. I said, all right, that's what we're going to be faced with. But what's an even bigger shame is that you can tell what von Donnersmarck and his cast and crew were going for. It was one of those 1960s charade-esque, opera-esque diversions that have a great cast, a couple with a lot of chemistry, and a lot of fun espionage crime shenanigans that are interesting enough to emotionally invest us in the film. You know, bite our nails or get a little worried that our heroes won't get out of whatever scrape they're in. It'd be easy to fault Jolie and Depp here. They don't have any chemistry. I recommend that they never appear in a film together as romantic interests ever again. But I'd say, and you touched on this, that it was the screenplay by director Florian Henkel von Donnersmarck. I just like to say that. Christopher McQuarrie, Julia Fellows, and Jerome Saul. There really is no sense of fun. There is a little bit, but not a lot. The no real adventure. Again, a little bit that touches on it. I mean, you can see these moments when you kind of knew what they were hoping to go for. And the twists, which you really, I think, spoke quite a bit about, not only were obvious, but they were so poorly executed. I mean, I had figured out the whole whatever the guy's name was that they were looking for. I figured that whole thing out, but when they had the big reveal, I still was a little confused about what the heck was going on. And the plot itself overall is just ho-hum. I mean, if you can't even figure out is the evil Englishman a mobster or an arms dealer or whatever he is, that's a big problem. And Venice, my God, it's one of the most beautiful and exotic cities in Europe. And again, it looks like any place else, you know, any German town or any Italian town you could go to.
You wouldn't know they were in Venice other than the fact that they're driving around in boats all the time.
Yeah, you really wouldn't. It was just so poorly executed in that way. You really didn't have that sense of place, which is, again, those charade back in the early 60s. You really felt you were in Paris. You really got a sense of the city. The city became a character in and of itself. It wasn't here. But even with all the flaws, the film is just diverting enough to be worth a visit. And like you, if you can't get into anything else, there's a few films coming out in the next couple of weeks, and there's been a couple of films we've talked about in the last few shows, The King's Speech in particular. Go see that. Wait for Tron or True Grit. If you want to take a nap or if you want to just be bored for a while, just take a breather from your holiday shopping, go see the film. Otherwise, maybe wait for a DVD if you really, really have to see it. I didn't hate the film, and I do think the intentions here were good. It wasn't an evil plot against the audience. So I'm going to give it a C-, but just because I'm feeling in a giving spirit.
I think that's really fair. You know, there are some attempts at humor here. I like that it's more lighthearted than, say, Salt was. I think that actually is a good fit for Jolie, like I said in my review. But the humor wasn't great, but it was amusing. You know, Johnny Depp was kind of funny as this sort of doltish tourist who doesn't really know what's going on. Like we played in the trailer there when, you know, he says that, you know, well, it's a problem when you upgrade from room service, you know, it's quite serious. That, you know, that's kind of a funny line.
That was a good scene, actually.
Yeah, yeah. So there were a few things like that. So, yeah.
There were a few moments, yeah. And I think it really does serve Jolie to be in action pictures where she can have a little sense of fun as well. The Tomb Raider films that she did a few years ago, which I really didn't love, they actually did have kind of this weird good sense of energy and a good sense of fun, I think, that she was able to bring to bear. I think you did touch on that too. She should maybe try to find vehicles that do highlight a little bit of her sense of fun, which I think she has a lot of it. And I think it also offsets that iciness that did not serve her all that well in Salt. So this definitely was a step up from Salt. I can say that. So if you're faced with a choice of this or Salt, take The Tourist. That's all I could say.
Good advice. All right.
Our next film is The Fighter, the picture which stars Mark Wahlberg and Christian Bale as a boxer and his trainer, respectively, follows the trials and tribulations of a blue-collar family looking for its big break.
You pave streets, right?
Yeah, I do, and I'm a fighter.
I heard you were a stepping stone.
Oh, I mean, I had a few tough fights, but the next fight's going to show who I am.
Yeah, and he's going to lose that one, too. So move that sugar ass and give
it. Don't disrespect her.
Mickey Ward is 31 years old. He's here because he needs the money.
Look at the size of that guy.
He's got 20 pounds on me, Dickie.
You don't fight, nobody gets paid.
I'm sick of being a disappointment.
Look, Mick, nobody's got heart like you. You're a very talented fighter. I want to give you a real shot.
Mickey Ward, played by Wahlberg, is a stepping stone fighter, an easy opponent used by better fighters to advance their careers. Mismanaged for years by his mother, Alice, and crackhead brother, Dickie, played by Bale, Mickey's career is on the ropes and he's about ready to throw in the towel until he meets a beautiful, spunky barmaid played by Amy Adams, who shows him that he needs to stand up for himself in and out of the ring. Now, I like The Fighter. It's not the best film of the year, and indeed it has some flaws and a couple of significant flaws, but I really was rooting for it. It's a strange, strange hybrid of a sports flick and a family drama, and that's what gives it a kind of a unique spin on what could have been a tired old story. There's fighting and training montages, of course, but the real story is about how Mickey stands up outside of the ring and wins the battle for his own identity and the respect of his family. The cast overall is uniformly excellent, especially Bale, who plays a delusional loser whose entire life was defined by one moment. And his redemption in and of itself would make an interesting film. But it isn't about him. It's about Wahlberg's Mickey and his quest to become a world championship boxer and his love for a good woman. Now, Wahlberg and Adams have enough chemistry that we really believe they're a couple. And I think this is some of Amy Adams' best work. I really, really liked her here. I did not like her in Julia that came out last year, but she's really terrific here. Melissa Leo also should be given special notice as Alice Ward, Mickey and Dickie's mother. She took what I thought was a very stereotypical role and gives it some depth. Yes, she's obnoxious, misguided, and not very likable, but deep down she wants the best for her boys, and a great scene near the end of the picture realizes this in a very kind of visceral but quiet sort of way. I really, really liked how they handled that. There was no swelling music and big tears or anything. It was just a very, very straightforward scene. I really liked that. I liked also how director David O. Russell goes for a naturalistic style in depicting the blue-collar lives of these believable people. The lighting is flat and the makeup is at a minimum. So you look at these people and even though we know it's Amy Adams and Mark Wahlberg and Christian Bale, and then of course all the supporting characters, they look like real people. They're not actors playing parts. I felt that there was a visceral aspect to their performances. Now, at an hour and 54 minutes, the film from the Weinstein Company is a little long, and there are a few cliches, particularly regarding Mickey's ridiculously large Irish family, but that doesn't really derail this R-rated film for me. Now, the boxing and sports fans will find enough here to engage them as well, and this is one of the few boxing films that I can remember that really talks about the strategy of boxing and shows that preparing for a fight is as much a mental as a physical game. The climactic fight, another cliche, of course, but that can be forgiven, is thrilling and an edge-of-your-seat nail-biter. Now, this is a winner. It's a bit offbeat. You really need to stick with it in the first about 10 or 15 minutes before it really gets going. But if you're really looking for an uplifting drama, this goes the distance, and I'm going to give it a B+.
Oh, Mr. Film, I think 10 or 15 minutes, it takes a lot more than that to get into this movie. I think first third of this movie, I didn't care a whit about these characters. They're, for the most part, a bunch of losers and parasites living off the potential of Wahlberg's character. And Wahlberg himself, he seems like a good fighter, but he's not exactly the smartest guy on the planet. He's kind of whiny and whatnot. And that's fine. It doesn't mean he's a bad guy, but it's difficult to root for him when his family is clearly taking advantage of him. I just wanted to yell at him, dude, wake up. And yeah. So I had a huge sense of relief when he meets Amy Adams and she enters the scene as the love interest. She plays the only character in this movie with some rationality and common sense. She's ballsy and foul-mouthed and gutsy. She's everything Wahlberg needs and knocks some sense into him. Amy Adams is really the movie's only saving grace, in my opinion. Well, not only, but the biggest saving grace for this movie. Okay. Otherwise, I would write off this picture completely. I think you are right about the boxing scenes, though. As a sports drama, they're well done, the boxing, and they deliver a much-needed punch of energy that the movie needs when they come along. Each fight is set up pretty well dramatically, so the right things are at stake to keep you on edge and engaged in the fights, and I like that aspect of this. When Wahlberg finally gets his shot at the welterweight title, you do feel proud of him, thanks largely again to Amy Adams' saving grace. But in the end, the themes of family and whatnot, I didn't totally buy into that, and I'm not really sure what the point is there. I mean, it's a modest story, and almost everyone else in the picture, I could care less about. The whole thing about family, the whole idea that the family gets to participate in Wahlberg's success at some point, I think robs him of the pride that he and Amy Adams justly deserve. I think this movie is trying to celebrate family in some sort of weird way, but you know what? I think sometimes that isn't the right choice. And for me, it wasn't the right direction for this movie. I would have preferred to see Wahlberg create his own family with Amy Adams and tell everyone else to go to hell, you know?
Yeah.
Now, in all honesty, I think this movie is a C-range movie, but I'm going to give it a B- because of the boxing scenes were well done and executed and set up well dramatically, not just cinematography and whatnot, but dramatically they're well set up,
yeah,
and because of Amy Adams here. So I'm going to give it a B-.
Okay. I think you touched on some good stuff with the family stuff. I did the one thing I did like about the film, and this is what kind of put it over the edge for me. It really is that point when Amy Adams comes in and says, "You got to tell your family to go to hell," and because he's about ready to give up. I mean, that's the big thing. He's because of his family, he's about ready to give up. And I like the fact that he basically tells this big obnoxious family to go to hell. I mean, for a good part of the picture. And when he brings them back in, they're coming back in on his terms. So I like that part of it. I kind of get where you're coming from. But I think the boxing, I think the way they set it up, and I think that at least the way he comes back and reconciles with his brother and his mother, I think that part of it was really good. I know this is actually a true story, and I know that they probably wanted to make it as true as possible with this big family and such.
Yeah.
They could have jettisoned all those sisters,
yeah, totally,
and that whole business, and just had it be the mother and the crackhead brother, and I think that would have worked just as well dramatically, and it may have minimized that aspect that you had problems with to a certain extent. But that's not what we have, and I like how they handled it. Again, you know, it's not an A-range film for me. I loved Amy Adams in it. I liked the boxing stuff, and I like the fact that it really, at the end, it is on Mickey's terms that he wins, and for the most part, wins his match. So I liked that part of it. So
yeah, that's fine. And you said before that this movie isn't about Dickie or Christian Bale's character. I think in the beginning, maybe that's partly what I struggled with, because I wasn't even really sure what it was about. It does seem a little bit overly focused on that. It is an interesting story in and of itself, like you said, but I think that's part of what makes it difficult for this picture to get off the ground.
Yeah, it was a really kind of strange. It had the first like 10 minutes in particular are a little strange. So you just, if you do go see the film and you are looking for an uplifting picture and you are looking for a good boxing picture, stick with it because the first 10 minutes are a little offbeat. So I would recommend that.
I would
you
say
go
the
in
first,
there knowing that.
I would say the first 45 minutes or half hour are that way. So
okay, fair enough.
If you can stick it out that long, you know, you'll enjoy the rest.
Yeah, if you can stick it out for that long, I think you'll be well rewarded.
All right. Well, Mr. Film, last week we said we were going to review Company Men. But
that's right, I remember that.
Yes, and unfortunately, the distributor moved it to January.
Oh, no.
But the good news is that the movie All Good Things finally came out in L.A., so we promised to look at that before. So let's make good on that at least, and we'll come back in January to Company Men.
Okay, I think that's a good idea.
All Good Things is based on a true story about a family in New York real estate, and also it is a missing persons mystery, or at least one person's version of it.
You have to let me go.
Pretty wife, rich husband, it'll be all over the 6 o'clock news.
Dad?
Why couldn't you just have given her what she wanted?
Husbands lie all the time.
We had a deal.
If anything happens to me, don't let them get away with it.
In Magnolia Pictures' All Good Things, Ryan Gosling plays David Marks, an heir to his father's real estate business. This R-rated story takes place mostly throughout the 1970s, where David's father, played by Frank Langella, owned several buildings in mostly New York's Times Square area. Remember, this is the 70s, so much of this real estate is in the then rundown area of Times Square, and Ryan isn't exactly fired up about helping run the family business. In the course of his young adulthood, he meets Katie and falls in love with her. He leaves the family business to move outside of New York and opens a small health food store, and he and his bride are happy. That is, until he is sucked back to New York by his father. David isn't a particularly happy guy, and he doesn't seem to know what he wants from life. And the fact that he never really faces this is what makes his character darker and darker as the story progresses. Katie is a rather innocent girl, and seems to love her husband until an unwanted pregnancy puts stress on their relationship, and it's all downhill from there. Gosling's David becomes more and more unstable and disturbed, and what happens after that is pretty dark and bizarre. This is a deep, dark, psychological thriller, and for audiences who like this genre, I'm sure they'll be pleased. Gosling is pretty good as an actor here, and his transformation is well-paced and convincing. And Kirsten Dunst, as the young girl-next-door type who finally finds her calling in life when she decides to go to medical school, is at least sympathetic. But on the whole, Mr. Film, I didn't find these characters particularly interesting and a bit depressing. I wanted more out of them, and by the end of the 1 hour, 40-minute movie, you want more from it, too. It's an interesting story, I think, and the fact that what happens remains unsolved to this day is a bit chilling. Now, Kristen Wiig, the comedian from Saturday Night Live, has a small part in this as a friend, and I want to call her out, Mr. Film, because I think she shows some real acting chops and demonstrates that she can play a serious role. I think that's a good career move for her, and I hope to see her in more serious roles in the future. But on the whole, the movie, All Good Things, I just found it to be kind of so-so. And so, I'm going with a C+ on this.
All right, Mr. Movie. I am a fan of these types of films, and you really hit the nail on the head here. Like The Tourist, All Good Things is well-made, it has a great cast, and there are moments that work effectively. But overall, I left this film with a big shrug and a question mark. Why bother? I actually was familiar with this particular case before I saw the film. I saw a piece a couple of years ago about it on a true crime show, and I think that's where the story belongs, on a true crime show. As a docudrama, it just didn't work. Obviously, the Ryan Gosling character is mentally ill, but I didn't get where the Kirsten Dunst character was coming from. Why did she stay with this guy? If it was for the mercenary reason that was implied, well, that doesn't make her very sympathetic either. And it still begs the question why she does what she does. And what was the point overall? The rich can get away with crimes. Mental illness should be treated. Insanity always trumps love and friendship. I don't know. There really wasn't a good dramatic arc that made any sense to me. And of course, this is a docudrama. I'm sure the filmmaker would say that, well, we're just telling a true story. Well, tell it as a documentary or let the true crime people handle it. As a fictionalized account, it needed to have more of a theme or at least some sort of a dramatic presence to it, it was just a little flat to me throughout. While I didn't really like the film, I did like Kirsten Dunst and Ryan Gosling's performances. Unlike Jolie and Johnny Depp, they had real chemistry. And Dunst showed a real range of emotions and depth, starting out as an innocent and spiraling into a disappointed, depressed, drugged-out young wife and would-be medical student. Again, the film wasn't terrible, but it wasn't very good either. So I'm giving All Good Things a not-so-good C-.
All right, Mr. Film, well, you said that I hit the nail on the head, and so I'm going to have to agree with you and say that you hit the nail on the head here.
Thank you.
Especially about, the acting. Some great points there with Kirsten Dunst. She is good in this. And,
she's really good.
You know, I don't know. Maybe check out the
crime show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's on one of these, the Crime Network or the True Crime Network or whatever it is. That was actually really interesting. And it's a very bizarre story. If you walk into this, the first probably three quarters of the film is, it's a pretty straightforward sort of thriller crime thing. And then the last quarter of the picture is pretty weird. So be prepared for some kind of wacky stuff at the end.
Those are all the movies we have to review this week. In review, Mr. Film gave The Tourist a C-, and I gave it a C+.
And Mr. Movie gave The Fighter a B-, and I gave it a B+.
And for All Good Things, Mr. Film gave it a C-, and I gave it a C+.
On our next show, we will look at How Do You Know, starring Reese Witherspoon, Owen Wilson, and Paul Rudd. And we're back into the romantic comedy arena, Mr. Movie, so I'm a little nervous.
Something tells me you're going to put zombies in this movie.
I think so. At least I'll think about it. Tron Legacy with Jeff Bridges, probably one of the most anticipated films of the year. And Rabbit Hole, starring Nicole Kidman and Aaron Eckhart, looks like a pretty heavy-duty emotional family drama. So I think some interesting choices next week, a little bit for everybody.
Definitely, definitely. All right, well, that wraps the show for this week. Visit our website at www.moviefilmshow.com. If you have a comment or question, send us an email at mail@moviefilmshow.com. And please tell your friends to subscribe to us in iTunes. Just go to our website and click on the iTunes link in the subscribe box. That wraps up the show for this week. Mr. Film, I'll see you next show.
Mr. Movie, I'll see you next show. Florian Henkel von Donnersmarck. Florian Henkel von Donnersmarck. I just like to say that. I still was a little confused about what the heck was going on.
Amy Adams is really the movie's biggest saving grace for this movie.
Okay.
Mr. Film, well, you said that I hit the nail on the head, and so I'm going to have to agree with you and say that you hit the nail on the head here.
Florian Henkel von Donnersmarck.
I would have preferred to see Wahlberg create his own family with Amy Adams and tell everyone else to go to hell.
So I probably should take this part out, so.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
We don't want to get sued.
No, I have enough headaches in my life. Mrs. Film would be very unhappy about that.
I just wanted to yell at him, dude, wake up!